95.5 KSRO.
Yes, it is 12:34 at KSRO, and I'm Dale Tresillos, and this is Ask the Expert. Today, we're talking with Roy Miller of Hanson & Miller Law Firm in Santa Rosa. Good afternoon, Roy.
Good afternoon. Good to be here.
It's a pleasure having you you on yourself on with us today. But you know, it's kind of an inauspicious time that we're kind of in. We're kind of in the middle of another fire at the moment, though. Thankfully, that one is winding down. We'll get to that one a bit later in the program as well. But you know, today and yesterday really marks the third year mark. I think I should say just of the. The October wildfires of 2017, and I know you yourself were heavily affected by that.
Yeah, it was strange when my wife and I were getting ready to turn in last night, and the weather last night was a lot nicer than it was in terms of wind and heat and all that than 3 years ago. But we both remembered that, you know, hey, we were going to bed on a what was then a Sunday night, and everything was fine, and then. Just a few hours later, our lives completely changed. And I know for a lot of people, they're not anniversaries so much. They're remembrance days, mind days. Yeah. People remember it, and it's difficult. But also keep in mind that for many of us, we've been able to dodge fires since. And we're now in a position to help our neighbors who have been affected by the glass fire and help them through that process as we hopefully work towards a point where we're not going to be dealing with this on a yearly basis.
And that's, you know, I think, just a great positive out of, just what was a huge negative to us is that we've been able to, just kind of work, work past, try to overcome and kind of be stronger from it. And also just really help each other out and help, and especially those that have been directly affected by it. And I know that's what you and Hanson and Miller have been able to do.
Well, we've been doing it for 3 years now, and part of what I've been doing, and it really has nothing to do directly with the PG&E cases, is I've been keeping an eye on the different social media groups talking about the fire, and especially earlier on in the process, trying to demystify the insurance process, trying to explain, especially for those people who didn't have attorneys, what the legal process was like and what was going on, because it's daunting and it's a long march and people want it to be over. You know, people, whether I represent them or not, if I see them or they recognize me, in fact, at a restaurant I was just at about half an hour ago, the guy in line behind me said, "When is this going to be done? I just want it to end. Please make it stop." And I'm totally with that, and I totally agree with it. Unfortunately, the legal process is not a fast one, and patience is hard to come by. But at the same time, things like those social media groups have actually helped people vent. Yeah. There's been a lot of venting, and there's been a lot of healing, and it really makes me feel good about our community to see that people are reaching out to help each other through a difficult time. And that's a process that will continue.
It certainly will. And, you know, just any, just real quick to any survivors of just the recent glass or even the Wallbridge fire that we just had last month, is there any just solid piece of advice that you can give them right now that are just kind of beginning a process that you yourself had begun nearly 3 years ago?
I think if you lost your property in the Wallbridge fire complex or the glass fire complex, you need to understand that you have to be your own best advocate with your insurance company. Do not let up from them. That includes getting an initial payout from them as an advance on your personal property to get yourself back on your feet. It includes getting help if you need it, finding rental property. And if you find one, you basically tell them, "This is what I've found. This is appropriate given the home that I lost, and I want you to pay for it." Mm-hmm. Get it done. And keep everything in writing, because the insurance companies, especially if they don't have a third party to rely on being paid back, like PG&E was in our fires, you know, they're very much bottom line oriented. They'll say they're a good neighbor, they'll say you're in good hands and all the other little catchy slogans from TV, but they are a business, yeah, and they're not going to pay out a dime more than they absolutely have to, which means you need to advocate for yourself and your family.
Yeah, and it is going to be a bit different because one of these at least looks like a, you know, it was naturally caused, and that means that the insurance company is going to act a little differently with that.
They shouldn't, and the laws in California have kind of been changed with how these are handled, where it really should not matter what the source of the fire was. You should be treated the same. But at the same time, the carriers have gone through a difficult period in trying to handle the volume of claims that they had in 17, 18. Mm-hmm. So they should have gotten better and more efficient, but at the same time, they've learned their own tricks of the trade to try to limit their losses, because to them, your claim is a loss. And insurance companies don't make money when they pay out on claims. So you just have to hold them to the contract that you sign with them and press them at every step of the way.
Of course. And of course, anybody that's hearing us, we of course wish you guys all a speedy, just a fast recovery and all of that. And, you know, I was going to save this for later in the show, but now that we're kind of just on it right now and just kind of we're talking about the glass fire just kind of winding down and everything, latest report was 74% as of this morning, a great number. Not all the way there yet, obviously, but still a great number. But unfortunately, hundreds of homes have been destroyed, and at least 1,500 structures have been destroyed. I'm kind of guesstimating at that point, and everything. There's just a lot to really talk about there. If you're kind of going back into one of these heavily affected neighborhoods like Skyhawk or Oakmont or Los Alamos, I know was very affected in itself. What should you be doing at this time?
People are going to be tempted to rush back in order to see what survived. And I know people that spent weeks looking for wedding rings and personal mementos and things that belonged to a great-grandmother. You have to be careful when digging through debris because objects are sharp. Yeah. You can't see into the debris field. You need to have steel-soled boots when you go in. You need to have heavy gloves when you go in. And after doing an initial survey and maybe some initial sifting, you have to ask yourself, is this really worth it? I mean, I tried in mine, but given the way my old home was constructed, the debris field was 15 feet thick, mm-hmm, and it was unsupported on the sides, and it was filled with jagged bits of metal and pottery and who knows what else. And even though my my family, my wife's wedding ring, which was made from pieces of diamonds belonging to my grandparents, I knew it was in there somewhere. And I dug like hell to find it, but I couldn't. And in the end, I had to let it go. And that was really hard because our grandparents, my two grandmothers, made it a very much a point to give those to my brother and I to put them in our wedding rings as a symbol,
yeah,
of continuity. And I didn't want to give it up, but you have to let it go.
It's just definitely something that, you know, I can't wrap my head around myself. But you know, I'm just speaking for myself, I'm gonna have to take your word at that. Just you know, just having not gone through it,
you don't want to go through it.
No,
none of us wanted to go through it. But the support groups that are online that have helped the people from 17, 18, and 19. Are going to be there to help the people from 20. There are Facebook groups. There are email user groups. They're centered around the insurance companies. Like there's a State Farm one. And so I encourage people to reach out with that. If you do have a question regarding insurance that you can't get the answer to, call me at 575-1040 or email me at fire@hansonmiller.com. I don't care if you're a client of mine or not. Yeah. I do care that you take the steps to educate yourself to be able to get what you are deserved in your own insurance policy.
Real quick, that number is excuse me,
575-1040.
575-1040. And firejustice.com, obviously, with Roy Miller. We mentioned the Wallbridge one. That was purely a natural fire, at least appears to be purely a natural fire with the lightning strikes as well. But what do you make of the glass fire? Is that the same thing as, or are the insurance companies looking at something different?
Well, Cal Fire is looking at something different. There was no lightning in the area at the time.
Okay.
And the law requires that PG&E file a report with the PUC if there is any chance of any piece of their equipment being involved. And they did that in all of the various fires that they said they have equipment proximate to where the supposed starting point was.
Okay.
They didn't do that here. That is telling in the sense that because they're required to do so, and they did before and they didn't hear, leads us to believe that maybe they weren't the cause.
Okay.
That it did look like it was an electrical event. There were private, it was on private property. And so Cal Fire is looking at electrical equipment on this private property. There may have been a winery equipment involved of some sort. These things take months to work out, but you know, I would rather we not have any fire. I would rather we not have to deal with this time after time. I want PG&E to turn the corner regarding safety,
mm-hmm.
and they are starting to make progress in that end, to that end, and I hope they continue, because we get through this fire season without a PG&E-caused event, that will actually be a really positive development for our clients that are awaiting settlement. Since we were stuck having to take stock as half of the value of the trust fund,
mm-hmm.
we don't want that stock hit because PG&E started another fire. And so far, we're halfway through the season, that hasn't happened. So we want to just keep thinking positively and working our way towards the first rains, which I hope are coming soon.
Now, is Hanson and Miller, are they have their own fire investigator looking into this?
Michael Schultz is one of the top fire experts in the United States. He was called out as soon as the fire started. These areas tend to get locked down pretty quickly,
mm-hmm.
but there are ways to get information that investigators have, and I know that he's been working on it. There were fires up in Oregon that may have been utility related, and I know he was out here on the West Coast looking at that as well. But yeah, it's being looked at, but at the same time, I'm not seeing some of the same clues that I saw on, for example, Kincaid,
okay.
which was blatantly obvious that was PG&E. The same with the campfire. Tubbs is a little more challenging, but our group figured a way how to prove it and help bring that within the trust fund to be settled. So I think we just need to be patient and focus on getting these people who are affected by the glass fire the help they need from their insurance carriers,
mm-hmm.
while Cal Fire does their thing. But it did not look like it was a natural event because there was no lightning in the area.
It is 12:46 at KSRO. If you have a question for Roy Miller on anything fire related, whether it dates back to 2017 or even today with the glass fire, as I'm sure you're getting plenty of calls on it as well, you can call him at 707-575-1040. That's 575-1040. You can also go to firejustice.com and email him at fire@hansonmiller.com. We're going to take a quick break. When we do come back, we're going to kind of turn the clock back to 11 months or nearly a year since the Kincaid fire.
I'm fire survivor and local attorney Roy Miller with news on the Kincaid fire. Cal Fire has reported that after a very meticulous and thorough investigation, they have determined that the Kincaid fire was caused by electrical transmission lines owned and operated by PG&E. PG&E did de-energize distribution lines in the area, but not transmission lines. If you or a neighbor lost a home, trees, or crops in the Kincaid fire, call our local law firm at 575-1040. That's 575-1040. We have helped thousands of fire survivors and have been in Sonoma County for over 60 years. Our entire staff was raised here in Sonoma County, so for us, it's personal. If you lost property in the Kincaid fire, call us at 575-1040 or go to firejustice.com for more information.
Roy Miller is the attorney responsible for this ad.
They're at it again. Yet another attempt to add more government bureaucracy to healthcare. This time it's Proposition 23. 23 is funded by one labor union that's pushing their own political agenda. In doing so, this labor union is risking the lives of 80,000 dialysis patients. 23 is dangerous for patients, and 23 is costly for taxpayers. 23's bureaucratic requirements would increase healthcare costs by hundreds of millions of dollars every year. 23 will mean higher insurance premiums and higher taxes for everyone. That's Prop 23, the dangerous and costly dialysis proposition. Join the California Medical Association and the American Nurses Association California in voting no on 23.
And paid for by No on 23, stop the dangerous and costly dialysis proposition. A coalition of dialysis providers, nurses, doctors, and patients. Committee major funding from DaVita and Fresenius Medical Care.
Mosquito prevention begins at home. Dump water from plant saucers and buckets and refresh bird baths weekly. Contact the Marin Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District at msmosquito.com.
So 49 at KSRO. This is Ask the Expert. I'm Dale Tercios at KSRO. I'm in studio here with Roy Miller of Hanson & Miller Law Firm. We just talked a lot just about the three-year anniversary just with the October 2017 wildfires, one of those dates being today, obviously, which that had started overnight between the 8th and the 9th, and also the glass fire. If you have any questions just regarding that or any of the wildfires or at all, you can call them at 707-575-1040. That's 575-1040, or go to firejustice.com. Unfortunately, we're approaching another, mark or remembrance just within actually a couple of weeks from today, and that was the start of the Kincade Fire that that affected a lot of, basically everybody in the county itself in one way or another, just with the mass evacuations that we had to go through, but certainly directly with anybody just kind of in the northeastern part of the county itself.
It was a pretty stunning event. And I know people were still a bit chapped about being evacuated if they weren't directly in the path of the fire, but it was absolutely the right call because we have seen in the last few years that fire behavior is far different than it used to be. The fire will move much more quickly than it used to.
Yeah.
Fuel loads, wind speeds, dew points, relative humidity, all these things go into the mix, and it's better to be safe than sorry. And yeah, it was disruptive. But in the end, with having more equipment and understanding fire science a little bit better with these modern fires, they were able to save a lot of homes, including the entire town of Windsor, that they may not have been able to do in 2017.
And certainly, a great thing. And, a salute to all of our first responders and especially our firefighters that were able to do that. The claims work, though, for Kincade, as it was just kind of evaluated from CAL FIRE that it was it was caused by PG&E equipment itself. The claims process, though, keeps going today. What are the main work that Hanson & Miller is doing at the moment with that?
We basically took the lessons we learned in 17 and 18 from those fires and we're employing them in the Kincade Fire. So we're encouraging our clients to get the supporting documentation to us sooner rather than later. We've already set up appointments to get that done. Almost all of them are being done via either Zoom or phone and then email. We are also sending out arborists to check on things such as tree loss, outside structures. We also are gathering information from our clients on smoke taint because of crop losses, which were huge in 19. They were also very big in this glass fire. It's something that the local labs that evaluate smoke tint are slammed right now. They're about a month behind because of it.
Wow.
And we're also helping our clients in evaluating business losses because a ton of people in the Kincade Fire had both a home damaged or destroyed, mm-hmm. but they also had businesses affected. A lot of them in the wine industry or associated tourism type industries. So there are different types of claims that have to be evaluated. They're two separate claims in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
So helping them, getting that documentation together and understanding that will help us because PG&E and we are talking about a claims process to go around the litigation to get things done more quickly, to get people paid more quickly. So to do that, we need to complete our evaluations. And for those people who are clients, we're getting those evaluations done. But if you're not a client, you're obviously not getting your stuff worked up.
Of course.
And there's a statute of limitations that's approaching next year. So the clock is ticking, and the sooner we get our claims worked up and we have a better idea of the numbers, the better it will be for us to be able to go to PG&E and say, okay, we've agreed on a format. We have an idea of your insurance coverage. We have an idea of our client's losses. Let's sit down and figure this out.
When's that initial deadline?
Well, we haven't set a deadline because the litigation's ongoing right now.
Okay.
We haven't set a deadline yet, but what PG&E wants to do is they want to get this, if they can get it settled, they want to do it sooner rather than later and get a process in place rather than spending another several hundred millions of dollars on lawyers. The amount of money they spent on that Manhattan law firm and a couple of law firms in California was staggering. And because these litigations are complex and they're very expensive. If they can get the matter fairly settled through a claims process, it will save them money, which is good because they are, of course, a for-profit company, which means their stockholders will be happy, and will also take off the pressure on the issue of rates. Our electric rates are already crazy. Yeah. We don't want it affected by anything, so let's get this thing put to bed, but we need people to get us information in order to have that data that we need.
When it comes to evaluating the claims or property damage or any kind of damage, is it mainly the trees or plant life that's left?
Well, no, we have satellite photography from before, okay, and we have it after, and we also have photos from our clients. So outside plant life is, of course, and tree loss is one thing, but a lot of our clients also have pictures from inside their home because a lot of them are going to be underinsured inside their home, just like I was. And a lot of people want to be able to recover the difference from what their insurance paid versus replacing the things that were destroyed, which is PG&E's job. But to do that, we actually need the proof. And if we don't have the proof, we can't make the claim. So we're working with them to gather pictures because iPhones and Android phones are great because they're always there's cloud-based photos stored, and we're able to use those photos and things in the background of family pictures to help prove up the loss, which is really important.
What kind of other documents needs to go along, obviously, with the photos?
With the photos are going to be all your insurance correspondence and proof that you were paid.
Okay.
Many carriers are requiring a list of things lost, so we need that as well, if you made a list. If you haven't made a list, I can tell you it's better to do one than to not do one, because if we're in a situation that we need to prove things line by line, and for a few clients we'll need to, it's better to have that list. But understanding that some people won't be required to do that for insurance. And most people, a lot of people have said, look, if I don't have to do that and go through that nightmare, I'm happy not to. I get that. I can just tell you that it's better to have more proof than less.
If you're a business and you lost a significant amount of business, your business was directly harmed by it, to what kind of recovery can you get out of this?
What we would do in a business loss is we would look at the previous 1, 2, 3 year period as to what your profit and loss was. And businesses, in a sense, are a little more straightforward in that most businesses are technology driven, so that things are on a QuickBooks style format or other financial software. So we can compare and then project out beyond the fire as to what they would have made had the fire not occurred.
Mm-hmm.
So that, and then we project out based upon when the business was able to resume normal operations. Maybe they had to rebuild things. Maybe they had to replace things. Maybe they were down a month. Maybe they were down a year. But that documentation from our clients is then part of their business claim, along with the loss of the property, the business property itself.
Okay. And that doesn't really go for like business stoppage, like if you weren't directly harmed or anything else like that.
No, that's correct? A good question, because there are a lot of businesses in Windsor that called us that said, hey, look, I was evacuated.
Yeah.
Everybody, mandatory evacuation, Healdsburg, I want to be able to claim the loss. There's a rule in California called the economic loss rule that says, look, if you're subject to a mandatory evacuation for public safety, you can't turn around and sue PG&E. because then there would be such a massive number of claims that the people whose property was destroyed by PG&E would not recover. Okay. So basically the law narrows it to you have to have been touched by fire or inundated by smoke and suffered damage to be able to make a claim. Evacuation and power shutoffs alone are not going to be sufficient.
Okay. Also, another deadline just here as we're getting toward the end of our program. You have a deadline just for the Fire Victim Trust for 2017 and 2018. That is at 31st?
The current deadline is the 31st of December.
December, okay.
And I have not heard anything about adjusting it with all these fires and COVID and stuff like that. I think it would be a good idea for them to extend it, but we're operating under the presumption that it's not going to be extended. So if you're a client of ours, you should have already had a meeting with a member of our group regarding your losses and documentation. If you have not, call Alex, my assistant, at 575-1040. We need to get you in ASAP to have a virtual meeting to go over everything. And there may be some bits and pieces that you are waiting to finish off. If for some reason you haven't had that follow-up appointment, again, call us, and we will get that appointment set up for you to get everything done.
Again, that's 575-1040, firejustice.com. Call them for anything on fire-related, even up to the glass fire. Roy, thank you very much for your time.
Glad to be here.
I'm Brett Musburger, and this is KSRO Santa Rosa, the Bay Area's home of the Las Vegas Raiders play-by-play.